Welcome to the Motoring Podcast, an Hyundai i40 Tourer SE Nav Review Special Edition. Hello, I'm Alan.
Hello, I'm Andrew.
And yes, I did shorten the name.
You have.
The full name of the vehicle that we're going to chat about tonight is the Hyundai i40 Tourer SE Nav 1.7 CRDI 141 PS Diesel Blue Drive DCT Automatic. Trips off the tongue.
Yes. The badge isn't quite that big on the back.
No. Otherwise, it would be halfway down the side as well. So,
but a rare beast, because this is a family-sized estate.
It is.
These are becoming rarer on the roads, thanks to people choosing SUVs. So, well, I wanted to try an estate as a counter to the SUV.
So, just quickly, because it is good that it's a counter to the SUV. So, we've read out the model designation info, we've said it's a family estate. So, what kind of size of estate is it? So, can you relate it back to one that we can all just imagine in our heads straight away?
It's in the region of a Mondeo or Insignia estate size car. That's the class of car that we're looking at.
So fairly chunky, but not the sort of not a Volvo type length.
No, we're not talking massive. We're not talking massive estate. No. So this with this engine, you get 141 with the 1.7 diesel, that is, you get 141 of your metric horses, which equates to 104 kilowatts of powery thingy stuff.
Yeah.
The 7-speed DCT, which was quite smooth, actually. The colour I had was sleek metallic silver.
Never knowingly undersold on that one.
The official combined MPG is 56.5. When I got fairly close to that, actually, with not really trying that hard, because I was about 49. In the region of 49. I did leave it, I'll discuss this further, but I did leave it in eco for most of the time. But I wasn't being particularly eco-minded with my driving. So
okay, so you were driving in a normal fashion.
Yes, quite. This all means that it's a VED band of D, because it emits 129 grams per kilometre, which right now means £110 to the taxman.
For the year, for the full year.
For the full year, that is, yes. But from April the 1st, we all need to be aware of this, there are many websites talking about this, so if you are not aware that there are changes in VED costs and bandings and rates, go and find it out. But for this car, it will now equate to £160 a year from April the 1st for the year.
Yeah, if you go to gov.uk, by the way, you can, after a little bit of poking through driving and transport and then vehicle tax, MOT and insurance, all the different tables are in there. I know that's off topic from the review, but that's where you find them. Gov.uk, and then work your way through through the menus towards that.
The car I tested came in at £26,230, and that included a £585 colour tax. We've done a quick search for contract hire leasing, and if you put down a deposit in the region of £1,500, you're looking at a range of about £250, maybe as much as £300 a month over 35 months. So it's, you know, from that point of view, it's not that dear, actually.
No, not really.
You know, there'll obviously be the usual mileage maximums and all that sort of stuff, but it just gives you, we thought we'd be putting those figures in now to give you an idea of where it sits. Of course, as it's Hyundai, it comes with a 5-year unlimited mileage warranty, and they also do fixed price service plans. If you go for the 3-year, that'll cost you £499, and if you go for the 5-year, that's £799, which sounds like quite decent value for money.
Yeah, I forgot to check if it was transferable or not. But yeah, that's pretty decent. And they do a 2-year option as well, which I've forgotten the price of. But yes, that's should be a pretty much buy it, pay your amount per month, and then you're pretty much there. You shouldn't, other than fuel, have really any other costs, I don't think.
No.
The looks of the sounds of it.
No, they do well on warranties and reliability and all those sort of things that come in. So yes, so there we go.
So now we've worked through all the dull numbers.
Yes. Sorry, there is a test later, everyone.
Yes, we are trying to. Yeah. It's been one of those evenings. How long did you have it for, and what agonies did you put it through?
Had it for just over a week, over Christmas, actually. Lucky enough to get it for then. As it was holiday time, the Correct Windscreen Horde were let loose on it, which it dealt with. No problem at all. We went on typical A, B roads, motorways, dual carriageways, all sorts of stuff into the cities, countryside driving as well. So, you know, it managed to be exposed to all sorts of roads and surfaces and everything.
Was it quite good in the longer journeys?
Oh, yeah. Very relaxing.
Sure.
Very relaxed.
I know that quite a few are sold into fleets, so I was just checking that really it was pretty good for that kind of
kind of thing. It's excellent for that. Excellent. You're very well cosseted. It's the wind and the road noise is dampened very well. It's not intrusive, and you don't actually realise you're going quite as quick as you are. It is easy to. If you're not paying attention, and if you're not using, say, the cruise control or something like that, then you should look down and go, "Ah, that's okay. I'm glad I've spotted that. Let's just ease it back a bit." It was very nice.
Sure.
On those drives.
Just checking that. Yeah. So you'd said it was. I mean, we said I made you relate it back to a Mondeo Estate or similar. But it's not that boxy looking, is it? I mean, it's not. Well, not. I'm not saying that Mondeo Estate is boxy looking. By the way, let me just dig myself out of that hole.
But it's called a Tourer, isn't it? So yeah. And today Tourers have a sort of slightly angled boot lid. You know, sort of probably emphasising sportiness and things like that, rather than if we go back 20 years, you know, you thought of estates as this. Box, didn't you? That there was a
yeah.
vertical line where the end of the boot was, and that was it. It was pretty much a van with windows and seats in.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not like that now. It's this one's quite well proportioned, I thought. With again, Hyundai, their design language. Sorry, but their design language is quite simple. They have a few bold lines, and the lines all go to a point. There is a reason for them. It's not got all the design, as we sometimes talk about on this show. They don't do that. You know, there's one strong shoulder line across the length across the side of it, and the bonnet and front wings meet into specific points on the front, the grill. It all makes sense. You can see where they're going, and the lines lead you places. Towards the back, because it's not a squared off back, as there aren't any estates that do that anymore.
Not really.
You do. There is obviously a slight compromise to interior space if you. Have that much that it's using the area above the retractable luggage cover. But how often that happens for most people? Not so sure.
Okay.
Not so sure.
So, right. So you said the car came in sleek silver metallic.
Yeah. And that was okay. I preferred, having seen them on the road, I prefer the blue sprint pearl and the titanium silver metallic, which is like a metallic grey.
Yeah.
I think they work best on it. But the silver wasn't bad in any way.
Okay, that's good to know. So, what else from the exterior?
Well, there's one thing I did notice, actually. Uh-huh. This reminded me of another Hyundai I drove recently. But the front windscreen is virtually flat.
Okay.
Which, once I noticed, I was like, oh, that's a bit odd. And there's ever such a slight curve in it, but it's effectively a flat piece of glass.
And this is quite a cab forward vehicle, so I mean, there's a lot of windscreen just there.
Mm.
But you were saying to me that the A pillars, on the other hand, were really quite huge as well.
Oh yeah, they were. They were really. I found them quite obtrusive. I don't know whether it was because of the seating position I liked. But I did find myself having to move myself around them to see traffic lights or junctions and things like that. That was a bit of a pain.
Okay.
Because there's quite a gap between the windscreen and you.
Yeah. Okay. So it's quite a deep dashboard at the bottom. So
it is quite a deep dashboard. Yeah.
Okie doke. So that's a bit about the outside. What about the inside? Do you want to start at the back, or do you want to start at the front of the inside?
We could start at the back.
Oh,
yes.
Okay then.
Boot is it's quite a decent size. There's 500 and many litres.
It could kill you a lot of times. Yeah.
With this, yes, it would. as a podcast friend of the show likes to do.
Yeah.
That's with the seats up. Obviously, it's humongous if you put the seats down. They don't quite go flat all the way. Again, I'm not sure that's a mega problem for most people most of the time.
Yeah.
It might be an inconvenience once in a blue moon, but I think the space it does create is quite large. The only thing I would say, though, is that the opening does slightly tapers inwards as it comes down towards the bumper. And I would have preferred a straighter drop down.
Yeah, okay.
To the bumper. But again, it didn't really inconvenience me that much. It's just something I noticed, and it just sort of got on with it. So I'm really quibbling here at this point.
So what was before we move on any further, and before we forget, and goodness knows how we'd forget, what was the curry hook count back there?
Zero.
You what? What did you do? Yes. You must have spent the whole week pining for them.
Well, there was a moment of panic.
Right.
And I nearly got on the phone to Hyundai to double check that there wasn't something wrong.
Uh-huh.
But what it did have is in the space between the rear arches and the back of the car, you know, where there's some manufacturers they sort of punch a hole down.
Yeah.
A little bit of storage. Well, Hyundai have used that. They've got a slightly raised lip, and it's actually got a dual height or dual floored. So you can have it at the shallow floor for smaller items, or you can remove the plastic tray, and then it drops down deeper for, I don't know, not that I really
deep
tested
things.
This, but bottles.
Oh, right, wine bottles.
So they possibly, that could be one use that it could be put to. So they didn't bounce around all over the place. So I thought that was actually quite a clever touch. Obviously, because it's me, I'd have liked some curry hooks, but I thought that was a suitable substitution.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, as long as it kept your curry hook fetish in check one way or another, then that's not so bad at all. So that was the back. What about the rear seats? Because I know that any time that you look at a car, this is one of the areas where you can't help but focus, really, for your general pleasure and sanity.
Yes. Well, first of all, the doors opened really wide. They were virtually 90 degrees. So access in was easy. They had little little chrome kick plates, so mucky feet didn't scratch paint and things like that. So
I just can't help thinking how different this is from what I was driving over Christmas, which failed in most of these areas, actually. It wasn't any of my cars, I hasten to point out.
But the seats are nice in the back. There's mm-hmm. there's three distinct seats. It's not like there's two seats and then a sort of a bit of a hump in the middle.
Oh, right.
There was three seats. So the smaller members of the Correct Windscreen Horde had plenty of room. Dealt with all three of them easily. They could easily get in and out. They could easily do up, the ones that do up their own seatbelts, they could do that no problem at all. There was mm-hmm. no fighting or elbowing each other out the way or anything like that, so that was good. Also, perhaps disappointingly, my drives were not accompanied with the regular kick in the kidney.
Right. You mean the massage function wasn't working?
Yes, quite. So there's plenty of room between the seats back and front. I mean, okay, I'm 5'9", so I'm not overly tall, but I do push the seat back a little bit and then fiddle with the steering wheel. So, you know, I'm not crammed up against the steering wheel either. So, you know, I was in a fairly average position, I think, but there was plenty of room there. On the back of the seats, the front seats, though, they obviously have the magazine pockets.
I think it's a map pocket, mate. Do you remember maps? Those are the things we all used before sat-nav.
Well, that's why I called it a magazine now, because no one...
It's an iPad.
Well for us, it's an iPad. Sight, yeah. But this is what I was going to say. The problem is these were netted.
So
things couldn't be left in them.
Mm. That's a bit of a pest.
Which I was a bit surprised at, because I would have thought making a netted one would be more expensive than just one elasticated thing across the top and
probably trying to
material.
Hark back to 1980s Mercedes there, you see. That's what it is. It's a heritage touch.
Yes, heritage.
you can have that one for free. You can die. Yeah.
Yes, quite. I think they'll be delighted.
Yeah, something like that.
There is a slight the transmission tunnel, even, if I can use words.
Yes, I was going to say, are you going to talk about the transmission tunnel? Yeah.
Yeah, the transmission tunnel is slightly comes into the cabin. But I have little people, so that wasn't really a problem for them. I mean, we're only talking about an inch up as well. It's not as though it's something, you know, with a massive transmission tunnel or anything like that. No, it's just a slight thing that I noticed because it was there, sort of thing. It's not mm-hmm. that it made anybody's life difficult. And I think even if you had three adults across the back, I don't think that would really make a problem for the adults to sit there for any length of time, really.
Okay.
I think you probably would get three adults quite easily across the back. It may get a bit tight on a very long journey, but I'm not so sure. So.
Okey-doke.
So something to consider anyway.
Fair enough. And any adjustable backs on the back seats or anything?
No, there wasn't. But in the boot there was a one touch lever
that would
drop them down.
Ah, that's always pretty good.
Yeah, which is very handy if you're clutching onto things or people and you just need things to happen very quickly, please. So that was a good little touch.
Cool. Okay, so that's just on the boot. That's just on the back seat. What about the front seat and where you were? Let's focus a bit on that.
Lots of room, but because this is a car, we were more in a sort of the cockpit-y type,
right?
Front where you were sat down in with the transmission tunnel coming up a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So you were more in the car rather than on it.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, because you find sometimes with the SUVs that everything's so low down because
yes.
it doesn't need to come up, whereas with a car it's a bit more constricted space. But it was very nice. Some nice touch materials as well throughout. You know, where you wanted soft touchy stuff was soft touchy stuff, and mm-hmm. where you needed hard wearing things was hard wearing, but not in a brittle way. Okay. Either it's a good choice of materials and finishes. Cloth seats and heated seats, which always is important to correct windscreen.
Did you find they were needed much with the cloth seats? Because I've been driving since over Christmas and stuff. I've not been driving the Mazda so much, so I've been on the cloth seated cars, and I've not felt that I've missed heated seats at all.
Well, they've got, I think, if I remember correctly, they've got three levels, and they heat up quickly.
Oh, right. So they're a right scorcher.
To a good temperature.
I
have this on.
They're a right scorcher. Okay.
As my official heated seat tester will confirm.
Yes. Okay. Fair enough. I won't ask any more. I'm just not sure I want to. Ergonomics. I assume it was all everything pretty much where you'd expect them to fall at your hand and completely.
Yeah,
painless.
Hyundai do a great job of that. Everything was very simple. It was very clear. It was obvious what it was that you were interfacing with. There were buttons, there were dials. It wasn't all just in one touchscreen or anything like that. So, you know, you could activate things without having to take your eyes off the road because you knew, all right, that's that button or that's that dial. I can feel that difference. The only thing I'd say, though, which I found a bit odd, was the driver mode was on the far side of the center console. That's and this sort of it was in a bit of a concave shape.
All right.
On the edges. So as it would sort of turn towards whichever seat it was facing slightly.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have to reach round a bit further, even more than you thought, to change driver mode.
Was that, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much irritation was that?
First couple of times, it was about a 6 or a 7, to be honest.
All right. Were you changing modes by a lot?
Well, I was trying them out.
Uh-huh.
And I was I would have expected the driver mode to be on my side.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm sorry.
But looking at what buttons were there, then the buttons that were on the driver's side, obviously, they needed to be on the driver's side as well.
Okay.
So I don't know how they get around that easily. Maybe move it completely.
Uh-huh.
But once I knew where it was, and then it was, you know, and I was, the muscle memory had developed, then I was fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just what that button actually did, I would have expected more on my side rather than the passenger.
Okay, fair enough. Before we move out of the cabin, sat-nav, it wasn't mentioned in the name. It's about the only part of the spec that wasn't mentioned in the name. Yes, it was. Pardon me. It's a Tura SE Nav. Yes. So tell me about the sat nav, Andrew.
It's very good.
It was so long, I forgot. Okay.
Yes.
It's very good. Okay.
It was a Hyundai.
Thank you. There.
that
was deep and insightful. It's very good.
It's very easy to use. It doesn't require you to have to work out what you need to do next. It does what you expect. You know, it comes up. Do you want to put an address in or a postcode? You know, yes, I want to put an address in. Great.
Okay.
We'll start with a postcode, and then it usually finds virtually all the other information for you before you need to type it in.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's what you want.
So, and then it will give you options of three different routes usually.
Mm-hmm.
So do a quick, an economical, and the shortest.
Ah, the standard.
Standard ones. But it comes up with them, and it comes up with them pretty quickly as well.
And there's a rear view camera. I'm now looking at a spec sheet, which is which is why I'm leading the question. But there's a rear view camera that shows up in there as well.
Yep. Parking assist. There's also on the screen of the camera. There's parking guidance. And because it's one of these tourers where everything sort of tapers, including the windows, as it gets further towards the back.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually helpful.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessary, but it just made life easier that I could, it was one of those things that you're looking in the wing mirrors, you're looking over your shoulder, you look in the rear view mirror, and I look at the camera. You know, you sort of made that part of the checking
process
or the checklist that you do as you're doing it. You know, I didn't ever rely on just one thing. And the sensors are very good. They're very clear. You're getting a bit closer. No, you really are getting close. But if you don't stop now, we have a problem. You know, there were definite differences in each of the stages that it was speaking to you at.
Okay. Cool. That's important because sometimes it's they can be a little bit binary in some cars.
Yes.
I guess there were USB aux sockets stuff like that.
At the bottom of the center console where in the good old days there would have been an ashtray thing. There was actually quite a swish little soft open and soft close cover, and in there was space to put a phone, but it had the 12-volt USB and an aux connector. The center console in the back had a 12-volt charging point as well.
Oh, that's handy.
Bluetooth connectivity, voice control, which worked great for me.
Wait a minute. Roll back a second there. Did you just say the words voice control that worked great?
Yeah, for me, it was fine.
Really?
Because it was transferring Siri for me, because I don't have Android.
Ah, no, I see that it had Android Auto, by the way.
Yeah, it has Android Auto that I didn't play about with.
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
Yes.
You've got to have an Android device, yeah. Well, you can try that.
But it allowed me to, through the Bluetooth connectivity and the hands-free microphones and stuff, I was able to communicate with my phone without having to touch it or look at it.
That's pretty good.
So that was useful.
Fantastic. So what was it? So in between answering the phone, which I know it's not something that you do when you're driving, it's something you don't like doing at all. What was it like? You know, I'm not expecting Caterham levels of analysis of grip and slide here, given it is a front wheel drive Hyundai estate car. But what was it like to drive? I'm imagining it was a pretty good cruiser.
Oh yeah, I mean, as I said before, the cruising side of things, it was very relaxing, very quiet, very calm environment to be in. I could easily see me doing, you know, a big long journey with the family and it not really being a hassle, nobody being upset or wound up or anything like that. You know, we'd all finish it quite relaxed from the car point of view. Maybe, you know, they're fighting, that's a different matter, that's not the car's fault. But actually I found it not bad to hurl around corners and stuff as well when I didn't have the family. And even if I did, the way it rode, it dealt with the bumps and lumps quite well. So if I was a little bit more enthusiastic, then the passengers didn't really get that upset.
Right.
And again, because you were so, I think cosseted's the right word, but not from, not on all aspects, but you were cosseted from a sound perspective. So you didn't realize how quick you were going. So, you know, there were,
was well insulated. Because of
the, yes. Thank you. Yes. That's it. Just so well insulated. And the ride was compliant and nice that you didn't notice you were going around places as quick as you were sometimes.
Okay.
I found that initially, and then obviously I got accustomed to that, and it was like, all right, I'm paying attention. You know, I know that's going to happen type thing.
Yeah, because you said it's 17-inch alloys that it comes with actual genuine sidewall.
Yes. Other manufacturers take note, because I think that helped the comfort as well. I really do.
Yes, I can imagine it would do.
It had flappy paddles as well, which I did use a bit.
I'm a fan of a good flappy paddle, but mostly for the downshift.
Yes,
I don't know if you find for engine braking and stuff. Yeah,
that's what I mainly used it for, downshifting. To be honest, but the different modes, the car did act in a different way.
You're right. Okay.
With Eco, it moved up the gears much quicker than you would probably have done on normal if you were manually changing the gears, because it's trying to get to a cruising gear as quickly as possible.
And it'll be trying
longest gear at the speed you're at.
Yeah, and it'll be trying to cut and not go into the turbo, not go into boost. You know, so it'll be trying to keep it just below. It'll go just up until the turbo's about to kick in and then change up the gear, I'm sure.
Which, when it was cold, it was a little bit, you know, you were just pulling out of a junction, it was changing up. And you're thinking, well, no, can you get me out the junction first? But that was when it was cold. After that, it was all right. But then, you know, normal mode was pretty much what you expected in normal mode, and sport.
Was it quite normal?
It was. I think the word for it is normal. Yes.
Okay, that's good. That's what you want from a normal mode.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was well named. sport mode, it just made things change a bit quicker and stuff, and it was a bit more responsive and that sort of stuff. You know, what you would expect, you know, again, we're in a family estate. We are not in a lunatic hot hatch.
No.
Or something like that. So, you know, we are, you have to go in with certain expectations, and they were met perfectly well. I was very happy with everything that it was doing. The steering was perfectly fine. You weren't getting a ton of feedback from it, but you knew what you did actually made something happen. So I was able to trust it. You know, I had no problem trusting it, and it was quite light at in the towns and stuff. So, you know, where you needed it to be light.
Yeah.
So. Unfortunately, I had to find out that the brakes were very good.
All right. Oh, you did actually have to, rather than just for the sake of it.
No. This was but again, I have to compliment the way that the car was set up, because it didn't really cause any panic or alarm to the passengers.
No.
I mean, there was obviously, oh, hang on, you've braked quite hard there, but there wasn't a, oh, that was a bit of a moment or anything like that.
So I'm just going through and looking to see if it had the brake assist. Yeah, it does. It has a brake assist system if you'd hit the brakes hard enough. And as well as that, once you get into the safety and security section here, it does become acronym soup. But it also has emergency stop signal as well. I don't know if you hit it hard enough to
no,
do that.
No, that didn't.
I've only ever managed that once on one car because some children were trying to throw stones at it. So, yes, that was fun. So I think we've hit most of the talking points we were looking to cover. So shall we sum up just quickly?
I think so.
And
in summary,
yes,
I actually liked it. I liked it a lot. There was a few times it genuinely made me smile, and I think people going down the route of just going for an SUV are missing out. They really are. Because I think that this gave us more as a family car than SUV of a similar price.
Right.
Apart from the ride height thing, which isn't a concern for me.
Okay.
Necessarily, but I think we had plenty of room. We had, you know, it was more dynamic to drive. Mm-hmm. So from a driving point of view, it was more fun. The way that, because it was a car and the shape of it, I think that helped with the insulating us from road noise and all that.
Yep.
To be honest, I felt quite smug because I felt as if I know something you lot don't.
I know you don't need to be driving one of those things.
Yeah, I'm actually having more fun, and this is doing more for me and the family. That's what I felt. And it was so easy to use. You know, it was easy for anybody to use. So, you know, if Mrs. Crackwindscreen wanted to put in a direction and stuff like that, she did that. It was no problem. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about that when we talked about the Tucson. The Hyundai making the event of driving as simple as possible, as easy as possible, it's carried over into this.
Yeah.
That it was clearly the same, it's cliche time, DNA. it really was that it's obviously an ethos and something that Hyundai work at and are very keen to make sure happens in their cars. And the family enjoyed going in the car. They liked the looks of it. They liked going up to it and getting in it and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, you know, it was really nice. And I'm adamant that if people ask me now, you know, this is my sort of price range, this is the sort of thing I'm thinking, I will suggest the i40 Tourer to them. I say, you need to go and try this.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Excellent. So that was so yeah. I think that was that's good. So definitely worthwhile trying, obviously. I mean, you're hugely positive at the end there.
Hmm. I was sad to give the keys back.
Yeah, you said to me at the time actually that you were. So yeah, I think sad to give the keys back is actually quite a good indication of how one has got on with the vehicle. Whenever we're doing this, because you do sometimes find that it's you do sometimes find where it's like, please just take them back again. Another time it's like, okay, I've got my own car back. And other times it's like, no, I don't really want to give you these.
Yeah.
So just quickly to sum up, that was a Hyundai i40 Tourer SE Nav 1.7 CRDI 141 PS diesel, blue drive DCT automatic. Phew. And yeah. Until the next time, until we're back with another review special edition. Don't forget that you can give us any feedback and share your thoughts with the show at Motoring Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, on Facebook, and on the contact page of motoringpodcast.com, which is the hub of all our activities. Please don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube and leave a review and rating on iTunes or however your podcast app lets you do such a thing. It really, really does matter. Andrew, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
And if you want to talk to me about the i40 or any of the other cars we've reviewed or anything else to do with the motoring stuff, the best way would be via Twitter. If you search for Crack Windscreen and you see a chap in a brown jumper leaning on the back of a bumper, that is me. And Alan, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
To get in touch with me, again, it's Twitter, where I'm at AJPBradley. That's BIADLEY. If you enjoyed this, please don't forget to check out some of our other reviews that we've done over 2016 and we'll continue to do into 2017. We'll be back soon. But until then, I've been Alan Bradley.
I've been Andrew Clues.
And safe motoring.